the platform. Step up and speak out. The platform. Step up and speak out.
ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. The name is Larry Kwitera. It is the platform. And thank you very much for joining us on this, the 28th of November, 2018. Just 2 days until the month is done. And just to remind you of the frequencies, you can listen to us on Chivu 99.8, Kariba 105.3, Chimani Mani 91.3, Shalosho 97.9, Victoria Falls 106.5, Mashingo 96.1, Gweru 104.3, Bulawayo, my hometown, 106.7. And we're broadcasting out of Harare, where our frequency is 106.4. If you want to listen to us over the internet, it's www.zfmstereo.co.zw. And then, of course, you can download the TuneIn app, which is available for free, and just listen to us live and in charge. And, of course, if you want to follow the conversation in a little bit, I'll tell you when. We'll be streaming live on Facebook. The stage is just being set up right now. So as soon as that is we're live, then you can follow the conversation Facebook on Facebook Live. But facebook.com/ZFM Stereo. And I'll be getting your feedback from there. I'm excited about this. At ZFM Stereo on Twitter and on Instagram at ZFM Stereo ZW. And of course, this program is available as a podcast within 24 hours of live broadcast. We are live in the studio, so the WhatsApp number is 0731-168-045. Now, of course, the August 1st Commission of Inquiry completed its hearings in the capital yesterday, and many high-ranking officials, including the service chiefs, opposition leaders, and witnesses, gave evidence before the commission. And tonight in the studio, I have the commission's chairperson, John Masuku. Thank you very much for coming in.
Well, I'm the spokesperson and not the chairperson. The chairperson is the retired or the former president of South Africa, His Excellency Halima Motlanthe.
I was writing that down and I was like, let me write it down. I need that. There's a mistake there. Let me change it. Then I got caught up. Then I was just reading my notes. You do have his smile. So does that help?
It does.
Okay, there we go. For starters, when can the nation expect the final report from the commission?
Well, as soon as possible. We cannot give the date because they have to arrange when to meet His Excellency the President and hand over. But what I can say, Larry, is that the commission is way ahead of its time. Remember, it was given 90 days to do its work, but they've been working flat out day in and day out, and as a result I can confirm that they are way ahead, and it won't be the 90 days, but it will be slightly earlier than that.
Okay, so just for me sitting at home, okay, so, you know, what were the commission's terms of references?
Well, as per your introduction, the 1st of August 2018 was a fateful day where there were post-election disturbances that resulted in the deaths of six people. So the President, His Excellency, Comrade Emmerson Mnangagwa, then set up this commission of inquiry to inquire as to why that happened. So he put together a team of men and women, local and international, headed by the former president of South Africa, His Excellency Halima Motlanthe, and also it has the former Secretary General of the Commonwealth, who is Chief Emeka Anyaoku, and the Queen's Counsel, a barrister in London, who is Rodney Dixon. And then the general from Tanzania, General Davis Mwamunyange from Tanzania. And also you have Professor Love Momaduku, who is a law lecturer at the University of Zimbabwe, and Professor Charity Manyeruke, who is a political science lecturer at the University of Zimbabwe, as well as the past president or former president of the Law Society of Zimbabwe, Vimbai Nyemba. So that is the commission, and also the president in his proclamation appointed the secretary for justice, legal and parliamentary affairs to be the secretary to the commission in order to provide all the logistics. Coming to the reference or the terms of reference, it was to identify the actors and their leaders, their motive and strategies employed in the protests that took place on the 1st of August. To inquire into the intervention by the Zimbabwe Republic Police in the maintenance of law and order. As you know, that they're the first port of call for the maintenance of law and order. But we see that on the 1st of August, the army ended up intervening. So this commission of inquiry has been inquiring as to at what point did the army come in and how did it come in terms of the laws of Zimbabwe. And then to consider whether the degree of force used, because we ended up losing lives, was proportionate to the ensuing threat to public safety, law and order, and to ascertain the extent of damage or injury caused thereof, to investigate into any other matter which the Commission of Inquiry may deem appropriate and relevant to the inquiry, and to make suitable recommendations and report to His Excellency the President in writing the result of the inquiry within a period of 3 months from the date of swearing in of the commissioners. So, in a nutshell, Larry, this is why the Commission of Inquiry was set up by the President, and those were the terms of reference and the personalities behind the Commission of Inquiry.
So, thank you very much for getting in touch with us on 0731-168-045. We're coming to your questions right now. So, some people have had reservations over the appointment of certain persons in the commission. Has that in any way affected their conduct?
No. They have acted professionally. Remember, the appointing authority is the head of state and government, the government of Zimbabwe. And he had his views and he had his prerogative of actually appointing these persons. And they were appointed, and you also recall that during the course of their work, there were some high court challenges which were thrown out, and they continued with their work. But as far as I see them working on a day-to-day basis and the challenges that they faced during the hearings, they had the resolve to continue as professionals. And they want to be judged by the quality of their inquiry and the quality of their report. So, yes, they've been very brave to continue despite all the attacks left, right and center. And they've said, we want to show that we're professionals and we want to also make a mark in working for the nation.
So if I'm sitting at home, you know, they've been, I should feel that I should be comfortable with them and their terms of references, in spite of some people saying, okay, that person may have been linked to some other person or the other and that sort of thing.
Yes, I think so. You should be comfortable. And as you heard, not everyone was attacking them, but there were some who were also encouraging them to work as professionally as possible, with integrity and diligence. And I think even the leader of the opposition did give them a chance and said, look here, I know these men and women and in their professional careers and many other careers that they may have, but I'm hopeful that they are going to work for the nation and come up with a robust report that is going to help us to go forward. So you find that, you know, they were pluses and minuses as far as the work of the commission as well as the commissioners themselves was concerned. But at the end of the day, the commission continued with its work, and what is important now is to look at the outcome, at the report that they are going to produce, at the recommendations that they are going to make. As you know, that they, you know, investigated or inquired here in Harare. They also went to Bulawayo, here it's your hometown, and also they went to Gweru and Mutare. Why they were also going outside Harare is because they wanted to get a feel of the whole nation, because this was a national issue, as it turned out. And also they had inspections in loco at the different places that were destroyed during the disturbances of August 1.
Some people have asked why there is an inquiry. So some people, I've got a question here. Somebody says, why the August 1st in particular, when there were other things that happened before? There was the bombing in Bulawayo. There have been other events that have taken place. Why this particular one with the inquiry? And, of course, there were questions around, you know, some people are feeling about the legitimacy of it, but why specifically this one with an inquiry?
Well, that question was best answered by the President when he appointed the Commission of Inquiry. Remember, this is a commission of inquiry happening in a new dispensation. Yes, there have been questions about certain commissions of inquiry that took place before November last year. And this one is the first, and the president has promised that with this one is going to publish the results and the findings of the commission of inquiry as well as the recommendation. So it was his prerogative to say this is a special case. We have disturbances happening during the elections, and these elections had been opened to the international community, where journalists, observers and many other people. And you'll recall that even most of the video footage that we have of what happened or what was happening during that time, most of it came from the international media, because they were covering things live. So the president, one wants to believe, saw it fit to invite this commission as a special commission to actually carry out something that would have or would affect his open for business mantra. This is the way I see it.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When I come back, I want to get into the nitty-gritties. There's issues of evidence. Some people say, oh, I don't understand how the evidence is collected. How is the research taking place? What actually happens behind the scenes, and as far as the commission is concerned? Get in touch with us on 0731-168-045. And also do get in touch with us and touch with me in the studio on Twitter at ZFM Stereo, on Facebook, facebook.com/ZFM Stereo. Just tuned into ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. We are discussing the terms of reference of the August 1st Commission. Of course, you will know that there were disturbances and violences in town in which citizens died during skirmishes that happened in town. And the terms of reference of the August 1st Commission of Inquiry is, of course, to find out what happened, who did what, and to a large extent to find out, to also give a recommendation what happens going forward. Get in touch with us, as I said, on 0731-168-045. Now, in the studio, I've got the spokesperson for the commission, John Masugu. Before we went into the break, before I go on into asking more about the nitty-gritties of how evidence is collected and so forth, what is the criteria around who is invited and who was not invited to the commission?
As you recall, soon after the swearing-in ceremony by the president, the chairperson of the commission invited the nation of Zimbabwe to send in their evidence, in written form, and also for organizations, opinion leaders, and so forth, to send forth their observations during this day, so that they will be invited to come to the commission. And also, not everyone would be invited or was invited as such, but the documentation that they submitted was also important in the consideration of the report. So it was by and large by invitation, public invitation, and the notices that were being published on a regular basis when the commission was meeting for people to come forward and give evidence. So yes, we have evidence, written evidence, video evidence, audio evidence, and also those people who appeared at public hearings. Since you notice that some of those hearings were quite long, not everyone could be fitted into that. But the commission is satisfied that it has gathered enough information, that is the from the hearings, as well as the documentation, the videos, as well as the audio, that it can make a determination. It can come up with a list of its findings as well as recommendations. Yes, we know some were disappointed that probably they didn't come up for the public hearings, but it was because of the fact that there were too many, and at times the information they wanted to give was the same. And for the commission to be receiving the same information and so forth, it was going to be duplication of effort. So there were some of those reasons that came. But by and large, I think most of the organizations in the civic society, as well as you rightly said, the military, the police, business sector, government, they gave their evidence.
So you say the main reason some were not invited were because they were given similar evidence to other people. What is that the only criteria for some people not being invited?
Well, by and large, everyone was invited. People did come on their own. And even during the hearings themselves, I remember I attended some hearings where at the end of the hearings, they'd finished with those they had, and they even appealed that, are there any others who feel that at this point they have the confidence of appearing before the committee, and they that showed that the commission was open enough, you know, to allow as many people as could come.
But then someone would argue that there were certain people, for example, the opposition leaders are called on the basis of evidence that had already been given. So therefore, had they been originally invited, or were they invited after the fact?
I think I must stress that with regards to the opposition leaders, the impression given when the thing started was that they did not want to have anything with the commission. But the commission felt that they should be given a chance because other arms of government had given the evidence, and different individuals had given the evidence, and it was very important for them to be persuaded to come. And I use the word persuaded really because I think in their case the commission had to write to them inviting them to come, and you know how long it took before they came. But I must say from my observation, they really cooperated with the commission, and they gave the respect that the commission, you know, expected of leaders, and they came and testified. So that's what happened.
So you're saying that it took a personal letter from the chairperson.
Yes, especially for the leaders. Yes, and in particular, we were talking about the leader of the MDC Alliance, Advocate Chamisa, and Honorable Tendai Biti. And you know there was some delay because Honorable Biti was out of the country on parliamentary business. And when he did come back, both of them appeared on Monday afternoon.
0731-168-045. I'll be reading your messages very soon. But just to finish off on this point, so are you saying that they would have liked to have them earlier? They had initially slotted them into the discussion. Or are you saying...
Yes, earlier. If you recall, on one of the days, the advocate was thought to be coming, and his top brass was, in full force at the commission and so forth. But I think he was also getting advice as to when to come. And indeed, he did not come on that particular day. I think it was a Thursday, but he then came on a Monday.
But isn't it also correct that when I remember Honorable Biti was being introduced, is that the reason he was being called in was because of certain statements that had been made during when other people gave evidence in which there were accusations made? And so the impression I'm sitting at home is to say, no, he was only called because he was supposed to respond to certain things that he had been accused of. And therefore, given that set of circumstances, he might not have been on the bill initially. So can you balance this on that one?
Your question again?
The fact that when the opposition leaders came in, they were told, you're being called in because of accusations that are made against you. Was, you know, whatever the accusations were made by different people that also were on, who appeared before the commission in their different capacities. So given that, they were told that the reason you're there is because of evidence that's been given before. Would it not then say that the fact that you're saying that they were already originally asked to appear before the commission be somewhat inaccurate?
Well, you mean they would have appeared without even being invited?
No.
Yes, as Zimbabweans, if they...
No, what I'm saying is that they were told, right, when they came in,
yes,
that you're appearing to respond to something that was said,
yes,
earlier in the commission, right?
Correct.
Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
So, given that set of circumstances, were they only called after the accusations were made or before?
Well, if you were following the commission, those accusations were right from start. So from start, the commission did consider to call them.
The thing is, what I'm trying to balance, and this is for me to understand, you're probably explaining it very well, and I'm not getting it. Are we saying that because the accusations were right from the start, the intent was already from the start, or was it before even we started?
No, it was when the commission had started and these issues were coming up that they were invited.
Okay, so get in touch with me on 0731-168-045. And based on that particular question, I want to ask this particular one, that, you know, how is the evidence being, how is the evidence collected? Is it only the evidence that people are bringing in, or did the commission also use its own resources to research and find information in as far as putting, you know, the evidence together?
Well, it is the evidence that is being brought by those who are testifying. And it is, and you also notice that those who are testifying were also bringing background information in order to set the scene as to why certain things were happening. So you have that evidence, the oral evidence that was presented during the hearings. And then you have the documentation that was presented by different organizations. So those who appeared maybe would just summarize what they've got in their documents and then leave the documents. Then you also have the evidence from the police, from the hospitals, and any other paperwork that can help the commission to come up with proper findings and recommendations. All that was gathered. If you attended or you watched the recommendations, they kept on appealing, you know, for any information that would reinforce whatever it is that they were gathering through oral evidence. And this is why they even appealed through the Ministry of Information, Media and Broadcasting Services to say, we know that some international broadcasters were covering these events live as we saw them on international television. We are begging that they give us the videos which had, you know, which had a sequence of events so that they would corroborate with, you know, whatever information that they had from the hearings. So it is a number of sources of information that they were having. But obviously, they are working with experts within the secretariat who also have to give, you know, some scenario setting as to this is what happened in Zimbabwe, or this, or what happened in Zimbabwe was in the background of this and that. So yes, there's a lot of research, a lot of evidence that came from different organizations, as well as the oral evidence itself.
So the question I'll ask next is to say, there was no point that the commission on its own decided that they would gather their own evidence. So, because a lot of this evidence was public domain, so you didn't have to actually go and look for it anywhere. Is there any section of the commission that says, okay, let's go and look at the news reports at the time, let's go and look at the Facebook live streams at the time? Did the commission have to wait for someone to submit stuff that is actually public domain?
I don't think it's correct to say everything was in the public domain.
I didn't
domain.
Say everything. I'm not talking about everything being in the public domain. Yeah. I'm saying the stuff that is in the public
domain. This is the
impression
we are giving, Larry. I think they had to be to look at a variety of things, because this is an inquiry. As I read to you the terms of reference, they have to look at a number of things so that they fully understand the situation on the ground. This is why they were asking for all these documents, they were asking for all this audio as well as the video evidence and the oral evidence.
Okay, the question again, I'm not giving any impression that is different. I'm saying there are things that are in the public domain. They're not necessarily everything, but there are things that are in the public domain. Was that evidence considered, or did it have to need somebody to go and click on it and send the link to the commission?
What was important is that was that those who were eyewitnesses, those who were involved, those who were affected, as you saw that even those members who lost their relatives also came and were giving their side of the story. They were giving the historical background as to what happened to their family members, where were they before this unfortunate incident happened, and so forth. So for a commission of inquiry, I think that information is very, very important to have before you decide just by saying, well, I watched this on TV, I read that in the newspapers. So that's why it's a commission of inquiry. They were inquiring as to the things that were there in the public domain, as you're saying.
Okay, so again, the question not answered. Are we saying that unless the stuff that is in public domain was specifically submitted to the commission, it was not considered in as far as the evidence that is being taken into account now?
If you can give a description as what you mean by stuff in the public domain.
Let's say there's a video. You're saying there was a request for videos to be submitted, yes. Evidence and all sorts of things.
Yes.
Okay. So
let's deal with videos.
No.
There were a lot of... No.
Okay, yes.
It's taking you time to understand.
No. Yes. Let me ask the question.
Yes.
If there's a video that's on Facebook Live of something that happened.
Yes.
So he's saying unless that video was submitted, it is not being considered, even though it's in the public domain. I'm just saying.
It was considered. If there was anything in the press or YouTube or whatever, it was also considered. But with regards to video and audio, you notice that most of the videos and audios circulating, you know, in the public domain were edited versions and so forth, which is why they wanted footage that was untampered with so that they would understand the sequence of events as it were. So, yes, those videos were there in the public domain, but they also wanted something that will give them a long story than the brief story that you get from those videos that are in the public domain that you keep on insisting about.
No, for me, I was giving an example of Facebook Live videos, which are not editable. They're actually just there filming. They're not necessary. So are you saying that, just to be clear, for someone sitting at home or in their car or whatever the case may be right now, even if that wasn't submitted, if the commission came across it, they took it into their evidence?
Is there anything that they came across which
wasn't submitted by someone specifically?
Yes, which it was in the media, whether social media and so forth, they would also look at it. But, you know, they would look at it, you know, in conjunction with what evidence was coming from different people who were testifying.
You listen to ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. We're going to take a little break right now. When we come back, we will continue to talk about the issues around this. It's a very important subject because it speaks to us understanding the processes of what actually happens when the camera is on to start with and when the camera is off. And that's the part I want to talk about. How is it being recorded? Where is it going to? What format is it being kept in? And what is being considered in as far as the evidence that is being collected? Is ZFM Stereo my station, your station, the hottest radio in town? 0731-168-045.
The platform. Step up and speak up.
You're still tuned into ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. We are talking about the August 1st inquiry, trying to get the nooks and crannies. How does the commission work? And trying to understand how it all comes together. If you have any questions about the technicalities, what do you want to know about? And I know that question about the question that came earlier, I'm just going to read here on Twitter. In as far as this evidence is concerned, this is Tawanda Price. It says, what measures do they have in place to ensure all evidence brought before them is nothing but the truth? That is, thank you very much, T. Poise on Twitter. And so I've got the spokesperson of the commission in the studio, John Masugu. What measures are being taken?
Well, this is where the expertise of the commissioners that I talked about earlier on in the program comes in. These are men and women who come from different backgrounds and who understand different disciplines, who are going to interrogate the evidence that they get, whether it is true or not true, or whether there are contradictions that are coming out of the oral hearings with regards to written material, hospital records, and others. So this is where the citizens are going to be judging the commissioners as to whether they were expert enough to interrogate information, because it's quite a lot of information and which has to be treated carefully, which is why in our final release we said they are collecting and analyzing information so that at the end of the day it really, you know, comes together and does not contradict. So that is a question of trust, that those who are seized with doing the job would interrogate to make sure that any evidence that really is frivolous.
Okay, but my question was not answered.
It seems all your questions are not answered.
No, yes. I asked a question. What measures have been put in place to ensure all evidence? You can't tell me that
what measures,
the expertise and so forth, that me sitting at home, I don't know what those expertise are. So what measures have been taken to make sure that there's nothing but the truth that's being presented before the commission?
Well, everyone was asked to come to the commission, and the commissioners were listening and they were interrogating. That's why they were asking those questions. That is the beginning of some of the measures that you're asking about. Those questions that were being asked, at the end of the day, they will be able to determine whether this is honest, whether this is truthful or not. So the measures that you keep on asking about were already there for everyone to see. Even the people were watching, you know. They could see, you know, from the interrogation that this person is being asked so-and-so, is he answering in full or whatever. But no one knows the truth until everything is put together.
So are we saying, to a large extent, we have to rely on unquantified or unqualified, in as far as the lay person's concerned, expertise that you talk about, to in as far as this is concerned? Because I don't know whether these people know what they do. What are you saying that is in place to make sure that I can trust what's coming out?
The interrogation, or not, I wouldn't call it interrogation, but the inquiry that took place itself, the questioning that took place, and the recording, and also the way they are going to relate to their information, written evidence, oral evidence, and everything. You cannot wash away the expertise, Larry. You know, that's why.
So for the purpose of someone sitting at home, what are the expertise? Instead of talking about over the top terms, what are the expertise that are in place that allow, that say, okay, these are the measures that are put, this, whether you're saying this person does that, so therefore they're able to deduce this, whatever the case may be, that what I want to understand.
Well, I'll repeat, I gave you a profile of who is involved, who has been appointed by the appointing authority.
Tell us what expertise that they brought to this specific.
They are bringing legal expertise, they are bringing international relations expertise, they are bringing military expertise, they are bringing governance expertise. I think it's there for you to see. And this is what they are going to be using, and also their experiences in different parts of the world. This is what they are going to be using. Just like I can hire you, Larry, to do something because you are a broadcaster, and because you have been a broadcaster of some time, I will rely on you that you'll come up with a reliable report, maybe about a commission of inquiry into broadcasting. So you cannot, you know, just wash away that kind of expertise. No.
So, but okay, to try to understand what I'm saying is to say, okay, so the military expertise,
yes,
okay, that you talk about,
yes,
or the council, the whatnot,
yes,
are they working in making sure that this is happening? Because for a lay person, those are just professions. I don't even know what they're doing in that commission. I need to know.
That would be another program, career guidance.
No,
but let me tell you.
No, it's not about career guidance. Let's not be condescending to the person listening at home.
Yes.
The people want these things to be explained to them in things that they can understand them. Otherwise, the trust that has been invested in the commission might wash away simply because people just don't understand the processes. So even if you have to look at the list, explain to me to say this one's making sure that this aspect of the process, it has got veracity because of A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Even if you give me three examples of the people that are on the commission and then tell us this is what they bring in to make sure that no one's going to walk into the commission and con anyone.
Okay, I'll go back to the proclamation that I started with, that was made by the President, His Excellency, President Edin Nangagwa, when he appointed the Commission of Inquiry of eminent persons who are both local and international. The chairperson of the commission is a former head of state and government, someone who was running government, and that is the former President Halema Moklanti, who ran the South African government. That alone is experience running government. So that is expertise that you cannot just say the ordinary man and person cannot understand that way, someone who ran government. And then you also have someone who was heading the Secretariat of the Commonwealth, which was the Commonwealth of We Nations, about 50-something countries. And on a day-to-day basis, he was listening and dealing with issues of governance, issues, survival in different countries of the former British Commonwealth. So that experience that he has, even to the Zimbabwean question, he was there in the Commonwealth, or be it he was maybe a deputy or as a foreign minister of Nigeria. You cannot, ignore that kind of expertise. You have a general, because we also have some issues to do with the military. You have a general coming from the Tanzanian army, retired, but was a general in a long time. And there are issues to do with security that are coming up. And he has that understanding. Even during the collecting and analysis of information, he can offer that kind of advice. Then you have got someone from political science who understands, politics, theories and practices of politics, who can also offer that kind of expertise. Then you have got a lawyer, a trainer of lawyers, who can also offer that kind of legal advice as they debate these things which have been brought about by the public in the oral evidence. Then you also have somebody who was a past president of the Law Society of Zimbabwe, who also runs a law firm, who is in that commission. But then over and above that, they have a secretariat that is composed of people who have the expertise of drafting, reports and recommendations. So they brought in those expertise who will help them. Even the chairperson's team that he has got a team of experts who have been involved in this kind of a job. As you know, as we speak right now, there is a commission of inquiry that is coming out live in South Africa about state capture. So, but it's not the first one. There are other commissions, and he has people who have played some part in some of these commissions who are also there. So with regards to this expertise, I think in his wisdom, the president knew that these people from a variety of expertise that they have, they can come up with some findings and recommendations, which is why he entrusted this job to them. So it's the eminent persons, the secretariat, as well as the support staff. We have to come up with all that.
So is there any chance of extending the public sessions to include what have been those that have been left out? This is a question on 0731-168045.
This is at the discretion of the committee. But as far as they are concerned, they've gathered a lot of evidence. And what has been happening as well, like I said earlier is that some of the evidence is being duplicated. You are having the same evidence over and over again. So the commission has seen it fit that they come to the end of this session and also go into the area of actually analyzing, collecting, and writing reports. So as far as I am speaking to you right now, they are going ahead with the report and preparing to hand it over to the head of state and government.
So what you're saying, therefore, in simple terms, is that unless there is something like out of the box that wasn't considered before, that is completely different from the evidence that is already there, then the public hearings are closed.
Yes, they are closed. Larry, if there's something, you have been watching the public hearings on TV or on live stream and so forth, and if you are convinced that they missed a certain point, you were there when something was happening, and I'm sure if you are to give them that evidence, they will be delighted if it is the evidence that they don't have at this point in time. It will be in the interest of the commission to also listen to your evidence. But as far as they are concerned, and as far as the evidence that was flowing in to them in the last days at the tail end of their hearings, they feel that they've gathered enough evidence for them to actually compile a report and then present it to the president with recommendations.
0731 168 045 to get in touch with us. Some claim there's a person called Piki who allegedly was denied a chance to appear before the commission, and yet there's Maiden Manyoa and Linda Masarere who were given the platform. People are interested to know what actually transpired in that instance.
Yes, I just checked with the secretariat. Mr. Piki that you are referring to came on one of the days, as I checked. And he couldn't give his evidence on that particular day because those who were giving evidence took far too long. And he was invited to come back later, but he didn't come, and news that then came out that he had been abducted somewhere, and he was no longer, you know, being found. So this is the story about Mr. Piki you're talking about. That, yes, indeed, you know, he came to check on that. But on that particular day, he was not on the list, and he was rolled over to the following day, and he didn't come. But the news that came was that he had been abducted.
So given that the public hearings are closed, if he came today, he has no chance to speak.
Well, that is at the discretion of the commission, but as far as I know, the hearings are closed.
Okay, 0731 168 045 to get in touch with us. We're going to take a quick break, but we are actually live on Facebook. No, we're not? Okay, I'm going to find out what's actually happening, then I'll tell you right after the break. Stay true to ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town.
The platform. Step up and speak up.
So tune in to ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. I'm here with you until half past the hour of 8 when Mona Lisa Dube comes in, and she's on the Y Zone talking about suicide in youth. So that's what she's going to be talking about. So that's happening between 8:30 and 9 p.m. We're in the studio here in the last 13 minutes of the show, and I've still got the spokesperson for the August 1st Commission of Inquiry, John Masuga. Key witnesses that also came up among people, our listeners, is there are certain key witnesses that were not summoned. For example, a member of the uniformed forces who the famous video was caught kneeling on the camera. Why wasn't he invited to give his evidence?
Well, that was at the discretion of the commission. They did not invite him. Probably they are going to include, if that is a question, they are going to explain why they didn't invite him. But you know, the invitation was at the, you know, at the discretion of the commission. Or if he had come voluntarily and so forth, probably he could have been given the opportunity. But as things stand, he was not invited, and the commission probably in its preamble or somewhere in its report and recommendations is going to mention why, if that is a key question that keeps arising.
So you're saying you have no idea why?
Yes, because that should come from the commission.
But surely, as the spokesperson of the commission, this is one of the key issues that's being brought up. And
yes,
and no, as you're saying, I would have expected that before coming here, you'd have gotten that information.
Yes,
because this is something that you, if you follow social media, and the whole country is asking, why not? I mean, of the aforementioned expertise is not something we can rely on and say that is the discretion of 9 people as to whether a certain is picked up, and yet the spokesperson cannot tell us why.
I think I've answered. It is their discretion.
So you what is the basis for discretion?
It is their discretion, and if they did not call him, they did not call him. So
do you have any inclination to or understanding of what the basis for discretion is?
No, because I don't sit in their meetings when they analyze, they collect and so forth. I only give out the information as I've also checked on that, and they just said no, we did not, you know, arrive at that we should call him. So this is the answer that I have for you.
Did you talk to them about
yes,
it?
Yes.
And they said we
yes.
just didn't.
Yes.
And they said you'll find out about it in the report with everybody else.
That's what we expect. If it is a question that was raised by other organizations, yes, it will be in the report. But, you know, that, you know, the nitty-gritties of what is in the reports, what is being raised by different organizations and so forth is something that I'm not privy to. So those are the things that the commission are discussing and coming to a conclusion. And one of the conclusions that they have not invited...
already seen that. I mean, just saying that obviously it's closed, that chapter is closed.
Yes.
It's just to understand why. And we would have felt that and hoped that when you come in here, we'd have one
of
those answers.
I think what you should also understand is that if he has not been invited and the commission still feels that there was no need to invite him, that is up to them. And these are the questions that you will raise when the commission then comes up with the report. And that report is now read by everyone and is interrogated by everyone as to why so-and-so was not there, why was this done, why wasn't this and that not done. So you may ask me 10 times, but I'm telling you, Larry, you are even better off moving ahead with other issues.
0731-168-0452, get in touch with us. We've been instructed to move on with other issues because there's not going to get an answer on this one. Somebody says...
You got an answer?
It's not an answer. Let's just feed me with an answer.
I'm just listening to you.
Not feeding you with an answer, but, you know...
I've answered you that the commission... has not called him, and this is at their discretion, and you want me to go on and on and on.
And we've said fine. Yes. And somebody says this is the reaction to what's being said.
Yes.
And somebody says, I think it's prejudicial to leave out some people, if anything, because the evidence is similar to what has been received, if anything that corroborates the testimonies. What do you say to that when somebody said, okay, just because somebody came in and said the same thing that I said, they might have been standing 2 meters away from me and they're saying it differently, and therefore there might be discrepancies.
I think a cross-section of people, you know, gave a similar evidence or almost similar evidence, and the commission will have felt that on this particular issue, I think we are done. 10 people have almost said the same thing, or 20 people have almost said the same thing.
Okay, just going to read some more messages here. What I will ask you is, far from everything and whatnot, how has the commission been received by different people, of course, across the cross section of Zimbabwe?
Yes, the commission has actually had a very positive response, as you saw that in all the hearings. It was houseful. There were a lot of people who wanted to bring in evidence. And the commission even went to other areas where this unfortunate incident of the 1st of August had not happened. And they were keen to talk to the commission. And they were also keen to make it known that there are other issues that happened in Zimbabwe, like the Gukurahundi, like other issues that happened. They took the opportunity to also raise them, although really the inquiry was about what happened on August 1st. And one wants to believe that in their recommendations, the commission will not leave that out, that while we went to such an area in order to inquire about the August 1st issues, but the real issue that affects them, the real issue that worries them on a day-to-day basis is this one. Because, mind you, the recommendation is going to government via the president, who is the one who saw in the commission of inquiry. Obviously, all that is not going to be ignored, despite the fact that the commission was all about what happened on 1 August. And you also recall that in many of those who gave oral evidence, they also contextualized our political environment in Zimbabwe. And it was therefore very important for the commission to consider that, so that when they are reporting to the president, they are not only reporting about August 1, they are reporting about what they inquired about August 1, and also reporting about how they think as a commission Zimbabwe can move forward. If you can just give me a chance to read what the chairperson of the commission said about this issue when the commission was sworn in and he was beginning his work and his colleagues. Former President Moklanti said, "Once again, I reiterate that in doing our work and as per our mandate, we will listen to all the views from the sectors of the people of Zimbabwe on what transpired on that fateful day. We will do our work diligently, professionally, and in a transparent manner without fear or favor. Ultimately, our goal is to assist the people of Zimbabwe find lasting peace, unity, healing, and reconciliation." And then he concluded by saying, "I have full confidence in the members of the commission to carry out their duties with the highest standards of integrity, impartiality, ethical, and professional conduct." So, in summary, what the chairperson was saying was that, yes, things happened on the 1st of August, and we're going to inquire about that as per our mandate, as per our terms of reference. But in our conclusion, we should also set the tone for national healing, for national reconciliation, peace, love, you know, and everything that Zimbabwe requires as it progresses forward, and particularly in the context of the open for business mantra that we keep on repeating to ourselves as well as to our neighbors and our international friends.
So what do you hope comes out of this as my final question?
What I hope in my own person?
No, I'm saying in your own person as well as for the people of Zimbabwe.
Yes.
You, I know you've read what the chairperson of the commission said, but what do you hope comes out for the person sitting at home? What does healing come look like when we come out of this?
Well, I hope that you know, many questions will be answered, especially with relation to the terms of reference, you know, as to what actually happened, what caused this, who was behind this, what was the reason for the protests. These were the questions that the commissioners kept on asking. So, you know, I hope in the expertise that I kept on hammering to you, they are going to come up, you know, with answers that are going to be satisfactory to the people of Zimbabwe. And the findings that are going to be balanced, that are not going to be, you know, that are going to be impartial, that are not going to show that they are taking sides because they vowed that as professional people, they want to be as professional as possible. So that has to be proven. And that we, as citizens, we join together to wait for their report as to what comes out of it, so that people will not end up just saying, look, these were just puppets who were appointed by the government in order to give a response that government is expecting on its part. But the government is just saying, do your work and give us the findings, recommendations, and so forth. So I do reiterate, I don't move away from what I was reading from the chairperson of the commission. I think what he said really is all-embracing in that we should find a lasting solution to some of our problems in Zimbabwe. This incident and the findings and the recommendations should bring us together, so that never again in our lifetime and even in future generations such a thing should happen, especially, you know, when we were moving into a new dispensation, when we had invited the international community, giving ourselves pride that we're a peace-loving nation, that even our elections are going to be free and fair, and then while we wait for the results, 6 innocent lives are gone just like that, and families have become orphaned, you know, in a split second. That should not happen. So, yes, national healing, unity, progress, tolerance, and all those things, and also respect for institutions. I think all those things, I want to believe they will come out in the report for the good of the nation of Zimbabwe.
That is a perfect segue to the end of the program. I really appreciate you coming in, and thank you very much for joining us. And as far as trying to communicate what the nation needs to know, and as far as this important issue is concerned.
Well, Larry, I would like to thank you and ZFM on behalf of the Commission for giving us this opportunity to come and talk about the Commission. And I must say, all the questions that you asked me were very relevant, and I hope I gave you satisfactory answers.
Thank you. It is not up to me to be satisfied. It's the people of Zimbabwe that must be satisfied. And thank you very much to every single one of you was listening from home. That is the August 1 Commission of Inquiries spokesperson, John Mazugu. Just to remind you that it completed its public hearings in the capital yesterday. And at this moment, they are collating the data so that we can have a report slightly before the 90-day mark. So there we go. Stay tuned to ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. Mona Lisa Dube is coming in right now with the Y Zone, and she's talking about suicide in young people. Very strong subject for me, but as I say, from where I come from, Asilwe Sasebenza. My name is Larry Kwitera, and I will see you in Bulawayo on Friday when ZFM has that cool party, that old school party.